Okay. This parasha begins a new sefer. One of the five, the second of the Chamishah Simchei Torah. And I just was discussing with one of my close friends, Dov Zalovsky, and we sat together by a chassan last week. And you know, we're discussing, you know, what are you going to be teaching next week? And he's discussing going to be teaching about names, shmois. So he triggered off. We discussed a lot of other things, but he triggered off a whole thought process that's actually very, very fascinating. The parasha and the sefer begins with shmois. Shmois. These are the names of Bnei Yisrael. Now, considering the detail and the limud and the inspiration and the excitement and everything else that went into Sefer Shmois, calling it names is very, very bland. A name has, you know, it encapsulates the title, what's going on. Yeah? You know, when I first wanted to put my Sefer together called To the Source, I asked an editor if it's a good name. He said he thinks it sounds more like a cookery book. To the Source. But I still kept to it. A name is very definitive. A name gives credence. It gives expression. It gives description to what's going on. To call the whole Sefer Shemois that talks about Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim, talks about the Shibud, talks about the Moshe Rabbeinu turning into a Novi, and the Eser Makos, and Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Kriyas Yamsuf, and Kabbalah Satayra, and Mon, and all these unbelievably wonderful things, and talking about going through building a Mishkan, and all this, we call it names. Why? Because the parasha begins with, these are the names that come from Bashan, Reuben, Shimon, and Judah. It just doesn't seem to be fair. It just doesn't seem that you're paying justice to what's going on. Secondly, even if you give something not such an exciting name, but you do have a second chance of grabbing the reader, if the first couple of sentences are interesting. You know, Charles Dickens called one book of his, the Hubble, called one of his books, A Tale of Two Cities. Well, very nice. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Wow, that's a great title. The best of times and the worst of times. Why is it the best and why is it the worst? Okay, let's carry on reading. And you read, and you flip pages, and he turns into an excellent book. So here, the parasha begins, Ve'ele Shmois B'nei Yisrael Bo Mitzrayimah. Okay, these are the names. Wonderful. Who are they? Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zevulun. Thank you, we've just done all that. We've done that in Parshas Vayetze. We know all the names already. You know, why do we start off such an unbelievably beautiful sefer with something that we seem to be so straightforward? Secondly, what is Peshad, the Elish Mois B'nei Yisrael, Ha Bo'im Mitzrayim, that are coming to Mitzrayim? It is the Elish Mois B'nei Yisrael, Sheba'u Mitzrayim, or Sheba'u Mitzrayim. What Ha Bo'im, that are coming to Mitzrayim? Present tense. It's not present tense. Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about what happened then. It's past tense. Habo'im Mitzrayim. What does Habo'im Mitzrayim, what's that all about? So, very, very interesting. In this particular pasuk, we have the key to getting clear in Mahalach that goes all the way through this parasha and all the way through the Sefer and hopefully all the way through our lives. In this parasha, we have names. We have anonymous names, we have nicknames, we have names built on a gematria, we have all different names, and all these different names give us a mahalach, a derech, a path to understanding what we're doing in this world. Let's get this clear. Let's start with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is brought down in Perek Beis, prosecuted. Vayigdal Hayelet, Moshe Rabbeinu was found in the water by Bisya Bas Paroi, and he was found in the water, and she took him out of the water, sent him to his mother ultimately to be nursed. He comes back. Vayigdal Hayelet, Yelet grew up, but Vayigdal Bas Paroi, and brought him back to Bas Paroi. Vayigdal Levain, and she became to him as the son. Vatikra Shemoi Moshe, and she called his name Moshe. Vatoimer, and she says, Kimin Hamayim Mishi Sihu, I took him from the water. Okay? End of the pasuk. Now, ask our Chaim HaKadosh a kasha like this. In everywhere else, when you're giving a name, we've been talking about the reason and then the name. For example, they called it the Kol HaShomea Yitzchak Li. Everyone's going to laugh at me, says Sora, but Tikkur Shmo Yitzchok, and therefore she called his name Yitzchok. For who ache, for Yodoy Oichezes Be'ekev Esav, and Yaakov's hand is holding on to the heel of Esav, but Yitzchok Shmo Yaakov, they called him Yaakov. Reuven, yeah, look, I have a child, and therefore they called him Reuven. Now Kosh Baruch Hu heard me, called him Shimon, etc., etc., etc. In other words, you have the reason, and then you have the name. Everyone's going to laugh at me, and then they called him Yitzchok. In this pasuk it says, "Vatikrash Shmoy Moshe," they called Moshe the name. First came the name, and then Kiminamayim Mishisiya, they took him out from the water. First came the name, and then came the reason. Everywhere else, first was the reason, and then the name. Why? So answer Arachayim HaKadosh. Answers Arachayim HaKadosh something very, very special. And he says that a name any person gets is not a title. It is not a label that is just merely plonked on a person in order for convenience. A name directs a person to where he is supposed to be going in life. It's a direction. As Gershon mentioned, that Rav Moshe Shapira says, Shem is a name from Shom, over there, like Shomayim, over there, where he's supposed to be facing, where he's supposed to be going in life. A Shem is much more than just a title. In Ivrit, or Lashon HaKodesh, it's based on the reality of the of what's going on here. Okay? Shomayim is Shom Mayim. That's where the water is. A Kelev is Kol Lev. It's all heart. It's loyal. In English, a dog is called a dog. Why? Because inside they're called dog a dog. They could have called a cat a dog as well, but just happened to call a dog because that's what they call a dog. It has no real integral reason behind it. The Nevi'im, Sora, Rivka, Rachel, all these were so clear of the purpose and tachlis of their own children, that they were able to call the children a name based on their understanding of who their children were. They knew what Yitzchok's going to be, and therefore I call him Yitzchok. I am absolutely, perfectly clear what the tachlis is for my child, and therefore call him Yitzchok. I know what Yaakov's going to be, I know what his tachlis is, let's call him Yaakov. I know who Reuben is, Shimon is, Levi, etc., etc. That is if you know perfectly by yourself what it's supposed to be. Therefore you work on the purpose, and then you give him the name. However, Bisya Bas Paro is a very, very great woman. She actually married later on Koli Ben Yifune. She was a co-wife, she was a Tzara of Miriam. Okay? But at this stage, she certainly was not a Nevoa. We don't know that she ever got Nevius. She's certainly not Nevoa. And therefore, how did she know, Rabbi Yisai, what to call this child, this greatest man Klal Yisrael have ever seen? This greatest man with a Chazal call a little bit less than God. Moshe was a little bit less than God. He was the most godly he could possibly be. How does she know what to call this child? Says the Pasuk, you know what? She had no idea. She had no idea. How could the Sporkle put it in her head what to call this child? Vatikra Shemoy Moshe. She called the child Moshe. Why? She had no idea. She said, Vatoyma, she said, Kiminamayim Mishisi, I took him from the water. But what is the real reason? What is the real reason? She had no idea. She had not the faintest idea why she called that child that name. It was only because the Kodesh Baruch Hu put the name in her head. Every single person has a name that directs him to where he's going. And that is why the end of Shemana Esrei, we say our names, brought down in Tanakh, because that is showing us that we're not just Bob or Bill or whatever it may be. We are a part of Tanakh. We are part of the world plan of going towards a particular purpose. And that we'll never forget forever in Shemayim, because the purpose of Emes never ever gets forgotten.
Question. When we saw the Avos and the Imos name their children, it seemed to be after events of their birth. Shiny bracelets.
Good question. Very, very good question. But the name of the birth was because it was defined of what's actually going to happen in the future. The birth was a simon of what their life is going to be like. It's a very long discussion. How's Yitzchok? He laughed at the whole world. He couldn't care. He was din. What something had to be done, he did it. Yaakov was okay. If he always was running after doing what has to be done, even when it didn't look that good. I'm not going into that. Yeah, okay. there is Enochanama. Their birth represented very much their path in life. What happened later on, but it was basically their understanding of who the child is going to be and what the challenges are, what the strengths are, and that is what they call the child. Miriam had no idea what this child is going to be. She had no idea who Moshe Rabbeinu was. In fact, Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Gemara in Megillah, had six other names, and much more spectacular names. He was called Yered. He brought down Ammon. Chovov. He connected Klal Yisrael to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Avigdor. All different beautiful names. Yet, Tuvia. Yeah, Tuvia. All these beautiful names. Gemara says Megillah is Gimel. And the only name HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever called him in entire Torah is Moshe. Why? Minamayim Mishisihu. What's Minamayim Mishisihu? Moshe was all about putting people out of the water. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, I'm very happy where I am with my father-in-law. They want me to go to Mitzrayim and antagonize Paroi. If it's the sake of Klal Yisrael, I'll do it. I'll pull them out of the water. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if it means me fighting against you, and you want to say, I'm wiping out Klal Yisrael, and I'll save you, Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm getting in the water with them and pulling them out. You have to kill me as well. I'm not leaving these people go. His whole life was based on Minamayim Mishisihu. His whole life was based on the fact of I am pulling people out of the water. That's who he was. Moshe was all about pulling people out of the water. That's who he was. Did she know that beforehand? Did she know what special child Moshe Rabbeinu was? Of course she didn't. But that's Ruach HaKodesh. A name is a focus of a path in life. How do we know that path? We're not Nevi'im. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a Nevuah. You got people with incredible names. And actually describe who they are. That is the koyach of a name. The Balei Musa say that Moshe Rabbeinu had all these wonderful names, but ultimately is only called by Moshe. Minamayim Mishisihu. Why? Because all the other names were the effect. They were not the cause. The fact that he brought down the Mon, the fact that he was a Navi, the fact that he brought down the Torah, these are all effects. What was the cause? The cause is based on the name. The cause of Moshe Rabbeinu being the greatest man in the world, being the greatest Navi ever and ever, is only because the cause was Minamayim Mishisihu, that he was actually brought to this world through a Maisa Chesed. The Mesiris Nefesh, the selflessness of Bishyot antagonizing her own father to bring Moshe home and taking in and seeing the pain of another person, that created a Moshe Rabbeinu. That was the cause of what Moshe Rabbeinu became. That became Moshe. And everything else he did after that was based on the fact that he was a person that started his life off with a Maisa Chesed. Everything else was an effect. This was the cause. In other words, my voice side, Moshe Rabbeinu did the most spectacular things. Brought down the Torah, brought down the Mon. That was nothing. You know what? That was all the effects. The most important thing was Minamayim Mishisihu. He began his life with a selfless act that somebody did to him. And that put him on a path that made him into Moshe Rabbeinu. That is the first koyach of a name. A name depicts what the person, its future is in life. And it's built on Ruach HaKodesh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more impressed with a name that is based on Chesed than Moshe Rabbeinu's unbelievable achievements in life. That's number one. If that's the case, that name is so important, why do we have other places in the parasha where names seem to be irrelevant? Let's look in the parasha. The parasha says like this. The parasha says, in Perek Beis, Pasuk Aleph, Vayelech ish mi beis Levi, vayikach espas Levi. A man went out from the house of Levi, and he took the daughter of Levi. Now, who is this man, and who is this woman? So, only in Parshas Va'era it says that this man and woman actually was Amram and Yecheved, Moshe Rabbeinu's parents. Why? What's this Vayelech? What did he do over here? So, the Medrash brings down, the Gemara brings down, that what happened was that they saw that Klal Yisrael have actually no hope. They have no future. They have no future at all. Why? Because all the Mitzrayim allow them to have are girls. And therefore these girls are going to ultimately marry Mitzrayim. All the boys are going to be killed. And therefore all we're doing now is going through a painful existence, creating girls, boys they're killing, creating girls for the sake of being raped by the Mitzrayim. And what's the point? What's the point of having a nation like that? What's the point of living like that? So he says, finished. We're not going ahead with this. I'm divorcing. And Amram, the god Ladoyer of Shevet Levi, the chief rabbi of Klal Yisrael, went out and divorced his wife. And Nebuch, can you imagine what's going on there? Can you imagine what's going on? That was it. The married home. The home of the greatest god Ladoyer was broken because he ultimately felt there's no point of continuing. No point in continuing being married. No point in having children. Says of Gemara, every single person followed suit, and they all divorced their wives. And that's it. End of Klal Yisrael. Little Miriam said to her father, Daddy, you're worse than Paroi. Paroi only made a gzera on the sons. You made it on the daughters as well. Paroi, what he did was not absolute. Not certain. What you're doing is certain. And therefore you're worse than Paroi. Said the Midrash, Amram said, you're right. And he took back his wife, and everyone took back the wife as well. That's what it says over here, Yelech Ishim Beiseva Yikach Es Bas Levi and took Bas Levi. Now this is all merumas in this pasuk. What's going on over here? How do you see this whole thing from this pasuk? So I want to attempt to say like this. Do you know, in the Second World War, I always thought as a kid that it's a shame they never had me. If I would have been in the Second World War in Germany, in a Warsaw ghetto, or in Auschwitz, Rahman al-Islam, you know, I would have saved the day. They're so stupid. You know, there's so many Jews and so few Nazis. What you do is, you take a Nazi, right? Very simple. I had all this plan worked out in my bed. Hours of plan. You tell you do is, you go behind the Nazi, and you jump him. Yeah? You knock him out. Bang. You take a pot, you bang him on the head. Okay? Quickly pull him behind the building. Quickly dress in his clothes. Yeah? And shoot him. Okay? Now he's dressed like a Nazi. So Nazi's not, obviously not seen that you're Nazi. Then you go in, and you kill another couple of Nazis. Yeah? Then you dress a couple of your friends up as those Nazis, and you make a whole chain of events where eventually taking over all those Nazis, you have to be a special thing with a special armband, you don't kill your own friend. I worked it all out how to actually liberate the entire Auschwitz. And he didn't do that. Why didn't he do that? Such a simple idea. Then you can actually get people who learn how to do the planes, and you can actually bomb the tracks, and unbelievable idea. Nobody thought of that. Why not? The answer is firstly, because they were too weak. Yeah? They can barely get out of bed. But secondly, it was a psychological warfare. It was psychological warfare. Jews, you can't do anything to us. Who are you? You can't hit me. You're nothing. You're a subculture. You're a subhuman. You're not even... You can't think of such a thing. You can't overpower us. And they drilled it into them and took away their money years before the Nuremberg laws. They drilled it into them that they're subculture, they're a subdivision of mankind. These people have no place in humanity. The Aryan race is so much greater. And you know what? The Jews believed it. And I believe that was a factor in the fact that they did not stand up and make more uprisings than they actually did. The Medrash says that no slave had ever left Egypt. No slave made it out of Egypt. So one imagines because of magic, some magical force around Egypt never let them out, maybe some wild dogs. The answer is, there's a psychological warfare. No slave ever left Egypt because it made a slave feel so lowly and so pushed down by the mighty Egyptians that nobody even wanted to leave. I leave, and what will I do? What's the point of me leaving? What's the point? I'm going to leave. That's so lowly, I won't get a job. Better to be here and starve and just get, you know, financed by the midstream than going out there. Who am I? I'll never make it out there. And they drilled it into them again and again and again until they believed that nobody ever left Mitzrayim. You know how they did that? They took away their names. You don't have an identity. You don't have a future. You don't have a potential. You know what? Who are you? You're Levi's kids. You don't have a first name. You're a number. They don't have names here. You know why they don't have names here? Because they're slaves, and slaves don't deserve names. Because slaves do not have a future. They don't have a direction of where they're going. Because they didn't have names. Because slaves don't need names. That's Peshat over here. Now. And that's why they made a mistake. Amnon says, you're right, we have no future. Finished. Let's divorce. What's the point of being married? He didn't have a name. He didn't have a future, and therefore he gave up. Said his daughter, little precocious daughter, he said, Daddy, you're making a mistake. Of course we have a name. Of course we have a future. It's all in the same. What are you talking about? No, we're from. We're from Levi. We're from the most beautiful tribe. How can he do such a thing? And you know what? He says, you know, imagine a little child calling the father, Daddy, you're worse than Hitler. Daddy, you're worse than Hitler. What do you do to such a child? Give him a little frat and send him to bed. A chutzpah. You know what? He said, Levi, base Levi. She said, you know what? I'm from base Levi. What's Levi? Levi can stand up to the truth, however difficult and painful it is. If Levi or Kubba Moshe Rabbeinu, Mila Shemilai, come along and kill your own brothers and sisters who serve the ego. They'll do it, you know what? Because they don't compromise our truth. All we have to know is what is the truth, and we do it. And they did it. And they went back, and they made a major U-turn. And went all the way back and remarried their ex-spouses. And the Kaddish all continued. The mistake was, they didn't have a name. Says Miriam, don't get pushed down by the Mitzrayim. Of course we have a future. They had the base Levi, they had the strength of the house of Levi. Where do we come from? Do what's right. We can kill out the whole Shechem for what we believe is right. They had a future again. They were back on track. A name gives direction. Without a name, you can fall down completely. That is what's going over here. Vikach Ishm Beis Levi. Velech Ishm Beis Vikach Ishbas Levi. It's all within the Pasuk.
It's called Shechem
Bor. Now, if a name is so important, if a name is such an important part of what's going on over here, you know, there's a halach, you're not allowed to call somebody by a nickname. You mustn't call any person a derogatory name. Now, you've all heard ridiculous names, and today it's become very fashionable to call your kids ridiculous names. After trees, after flowers, after plants, after jokes, or after all different strange things. People call their children today, you know, after animals, as different as it could possibly be. as strange it could be, that is the more fashion it's going to be. Imagine calling a child Clacker or Cutie. So Cutie, I can already imagine. What about Clacker?
Clacker.
Call the child Clacker.
What does the word mean?
Clacker. That's the name. Clacker. Yeah, makes a noise like a chicken. Clack, clack, clack. Imagine calling a child Clacker. I mean, a person would probably be arrested for that. A few months ago, there was a family, I think it was in Austria, who called the child Adolf Hitler. They called the child Adolf Hitler. Where was it?
Pennsylvania.
In Pennsylvania. Sorry. In Pennsylvania. Yeah? In Pennsylvania, they called the child Adolf Hitler. And there was an uproar. Big deal. You're calling your child name, not putting him in charge of Luftwaffe. Yeah? Not making a whole SS in his back garden. You're calling your child Adolf Hitler. You know why? Because you're putting the child on a direction. We want you, we aspire that you become a Nazi. Wherever you go, this is covered. Even the goyim appreciate that a name is very choshuv. You have George Jr., you have George Sr., they're named after great people. They feel it's very important. Here the Pasuk says, we have two most important people. It says the Pasuk, in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tesvav, Vayeme Melech Mitzrayim Lemeyaldos Ha'ivriyos. Melech Mitzrayim said to the midwives, Jewish midwife, Asher Shem Ha'achas Shifra, Veshem Hashem is Pur. One was called Shifra, and one was called Pur. Says Rashi, you know what? They weren't called Shifra and Pur. They were actually called Yecheved and Miriam. That's what it said in the birth certificates. Why were they called Shifra and Pur? Says Rashi, Shifra, Zeu Yecheved. That's Yecheved, Moshe Rabbeinu's mother. Al Shem Shemeshaperes Es Avlad. She made the child look beautiful. Pur, says Rashi, Zu Miriam. This is Miriam. Hashem shapua umedaberes v'hoigel levlad. Kederech hanosh mefaisleis tinuk habayche. She used to make very soothing, cooing noises to the child in order to calm down the child. In other words, these great people, Yecheved and Miriam, were called by something they did. Yeah? Miriam was called Clacker. Clack, 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 clack. That's just to calm the child down. That was her nickname. That was the name the Torah gave her. Now, if names are so important, and they focus on the future of the Kaddish Shal, how can you call a person about the name, the cooing name she did to her child? How can you do such a thing? What's going on over here? So I said in the past two very, very strong Mahalchim. I won't say them over again, because this is critical. This is mamash critical, Davidus Hashem. If a person gets this absolutely clear, it's fantastic. I discussed it many years ago. There was a bus driver called Benny. He's driving a 417. He was I believe, a Ben Olam Haba by merely driving a bus. You know, if you see somebody running after the bus, what they do is look in the mirrors, and as a person about to get to the door, yeah, puff, then they drive off, you know, I guess, aha, right? Or you see everyone in the bus waiting to see, is he going to actually open the door, you know? Person running, oh, gee, there's the bus, you know? And you have people, it's so cruel, yeah? He used to wait, let the person on the bus. He used to see an old lady, he needed help, he said, off the bus, out of his seat, help her up onto the seat, put her things in her baggage, you know, help her find a seat. He said, if children are sitting in adult seats, children, please stand up, let people sit down. There's a fact of time, I was riding along in the bus on the Kris Shoshim Ushmoneh, coming along from Yerushalayim towards Beit Shemesh, and it was a boiling hot day, and the bus air conditioning system broke down, and it was a terrible traffic jam. So it was getting hectic in the bus. It was getting a bit, you know, children were getting crying, getting impatient. So he goes around the bus, and he makes a head count. He goes off the bus, and he goes into a petrol station, a gas station, and he buys 26 ice lollies. And he gives each one of the children an ice lolly on the bus. No money! This is a person who I believe became great at driving a bus. Said in the Farshim, don't believe what you see in the art scroll books. The art scroll books of Rav Moshe and the art scroll books of Nasir Rosh Hashiva, and you name it, they became Kodosh Mirechem. As soon as they came out from their parents, they were absolutely perfect. Perfect! There was nothing wrong with them in Yishuv when they were 6, and they gave Shurim on Zoyha when they were 8, and they made a Perish on it when they were 9, and they were Maisim HaKobah when they were 10. It's not true. It is not true. If you read the autobiographies of the Gedolim, they had terrible nisyonos. But they built themselves up on what was their own particular midos. What can I do in my particular world to perfect myself? And they built up on their own strengths. And they knew who they were. They knew what their names were. And they focused on it and they became great by perfecting themselves through their own personal strengths. How did these people become Nevi'im? They did not have Nevuah and then become midwives. They became Nevi'im through being midwives. Through doing something natural to them, to being a fantastic midwife, for making a child look better, to impress a parent, by improving the look of a child. Through that they became a Novi. Through calming a child down the best possible way, being kind to a child, that's natural, but they perfected it to such a way that it became the Nevi'im. That's what the Pasuk is saying. The name of Shifra and Pua, you know why? Because through Shifra and Pua, through doing what they did best, the natural things, they became great people. Alternatively, another Peshat, very quickly we said that don't believe for 1 second that when a person's a Novi, he's got to lose his personal touch. He's got to lose the natural things given to a woman. In other words, even when they were in the Nevi'im, they still had the common touch. Story with Dina Bramsky, Zeicher Tzadik Livracha. Dina Bramsky was a phenomenal Talmud Chacham. He wrote parts of Torah which nobody has ever dared touch. A Pirush on Tesefta. He was an Av Beis Din of London Beis Din. He was a Gaon Olam. He was a feisty man. Very feisty. You know, there's once a story when he was in court and the judge asked him, are you knowledgeable in this particular subject? He answered back to the judge, sir, your honor, there's nobody in the Commonwealth Commonwealth of England. No one in the Commonwealth of England. England then had an empire of a third. Commonwealth of Great Britain. They had a third of the world was Commonwealth of Great Britain. And there's nobody in the Commonwealth of Great Britain who's more knowledgeable in this subject than myself. So the judge said, and the rabbi seems to be humble too. He says, your honor, I'm under oath. This was a man who went into a Rolls Royce. He had one of his balabatim. One of his balabatim gave him a lift in a Rolls Royce. And the balabos got into his own Rolls Royce first. And he pulled him out. And he said, you should know, if I'd be a businessman, I'd be a better businessman than you. But right now, you're the businessman and I'm the rabbi. Unless you've got to give me covered. And he got him first. This was a man who took absolutely no nonsense. But when he opened up a shul, the Hagro, in Beit Vegan area in Yerushalayim, on the way out once, he saw a little child, a little three-year-old child crying. So he bent down to the child and says, Vavos Vein's the kind that you made low. Why are you crying, little girl? So she said, between sobs, my friend said my dress doesn't look nice, looks icky. That's what your friend said? Tell them that Rabbi Bramsky said that you had the most prettiest dress he's ever seen today. Go and tell them that. And here's a tissue. She wiped her eyes and she ran away very happy and told all the friends, really, that's what he said. This was somebody who was a goggle, you know, a feisty man. The whole world meant nothing to him when it came to Das Torah. but he saw a little girl crying in the corner. That's what it meant to him. They were Nevi'im, but they're Shifra and Pua. They still remain Shifra and Pua. That is a koyach. That is a strength of a name. A name describes what a person is. A name describes how a person becomes great. Finally, I said this in the past, but I have to say this again. It's one of my most favorite divrei Torah. The pasuk says, but Moshe Rabbeinu is put inside his basket, and he's put him to Nebuch. He was sent away. Nobody knows what's going to be with this special child. Put into this box. The pasuk says in Perek Beis, pasuk Vav, that Tiftach v'tirei et hayeled, and Bishya opened up the box and she saw the child. V'hinei na'ar boiche, and behold, the na'ar is crying. V'tachmoel olav, she had pity. V'tayman, she says, miyaldehi ivrim zu, this is a child from the ivrim. Na'ar boiche. The Medrash has a problem with this pasuk. The pasuk says yeled, and then it says na'ar. So is it yeled or is it na'ar? Yeled means a young child, na'ar means an older child. What is it, a yeled or na'ar? Says the Medrash, he was a yeled, referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. The koiloi shel na'ar, the voice of a na'ar. Says the Gemara, it can't be, says the Medrash. Because Moshe Rabbeinu does not have a mum, he was perfect. And in order, at this stage anyway, in order for a little baby to have an adult voice, is a mum. A blemish. And therefore, the other Medrash says, what happened actually was over here, that his mother made him a chuppas chasanim. Made him like a little chuppah inside his basket. Okay. Says the Bala Turim, he made the hinne na'ar, it looked like he made something that a na'ar would have inside his tevas goyne. Okay. Now, says the Bala Turim, the hinne na'ar boiche, says the Bala Turim, ze aroi, na'ar boiche begematria ze aron akoyin. Na'ar boiche is a gematria of aron akoyin. In other words, he has a complete different pshat in the Medrash. In the Pasuk, right? According to him, but Tiptach Betirei said he saw the child, Vehine Na'ar Boiche, who's crying? Aaron is crying. Aaron is crying. So, you've got a Yeled. Who's in the box? Moshe Rabbeinu. Vehine Na'ar Boiche, Aaron is crying. Says Ramei Shapiro. Says Ramei Shapiro. Vatoyme Meyaldei Ha'ivrim Zeh. If that is the case, where one person is in pain and somebody else cries for him, there's only one answer to this. Meyaldei ha'ivrim zeh. This must be a Jewish child. Because nowhere else is one person in pain and everyone else is suffering for that person. How many people are there in the world? Rachman and Litzan have gone missing. From an army, from a spy, from a land. How many people from any country, any given country? We have something called Gilad Shalit. He's a soldier. He's a soldier, not very high ranking at all. He's a young soldier who got kidnapped. Every single child in Israel knows about Gilad Shalit. Every child knows about Gilad Shalit. He's one single soldier. Big deal. Okay, you know, things happen. How many soldiers got killed in Israeli history? So he's got taken away by the Hamas. Sorry, no, at least he's alive. Well, Meis Malukov, the worst of his dead. Yeah, it's a big deal. Every Jewish child in Eretz Yisrael knows about Gilad Shalit. Ramei Shapiro, in the time of Mendel Baylis was this blood libel that he made in Russia at the beginning of the century, and they said this brick worker had killed this child, and the Russian government wanted to kill him for murder, and the whole world was mobilized by the Jews to make sure that this doesn't happen. At the beginning of the century, whoever was in power in America, the American president sent a letter to the Russian authorities. Queen Victoria sent a letter, and it was going to make a public debate, and the public debate was going to be based on, are Jews really afraid of killing goyim? Is anything wrong within the Torah to kill a goy? And one of the questions he was going to come up was, Atem kriim odom, vloyheim kriim odom. You are called man, and they are not called men. So that they're going to use, Ramesh Shapiro knew they're going to use that, and he said they're going to ask you this question. See, you're called human, and they're not called human. And therefore, you can kill them. What's the big deal? Said Ramei Shapiro, said what Peshat is over here? Atem Kriim Odom means that you are called singular. There's no plural of the word Odom. There's Odom. No Adamim. There's Odom. You are called singular. You're one person. You are called single. They're not single. In other words, when a human being has a toothache, who goes to the dentist? The tooth? The legs taken there. And the arms. And the ears. and the nose. They all go to help this tooth that needs to be fixed. Because it's one person suffering. In Klal Yisrael, it's not fractured nation. It's one person. We're all part of the same person. Atem Kriim Adam, you're called singular. We're all one person. Look what's going on over here. The whole world is going crazy for one mental bailiff. Big deal. They're not Kriim Adam. They're not Kriim Adam. They're all, they couldn't care less about each other. Says Ramey Shapiro, he saw the child. Who's Moshe Rabbeinu? Vehine now boiches and also crying for the child. This is a Jewish child. There's a story of the Briskarov. The Briskarov was going to Eretz Yisrael from Europe on a boat. And he went with his Talmidim. And what could he eat on a boat? He had Gosha people all around him, and he had pots there, who knows in the pots. So he didn't eat anything. And had a bit of raw fish, and he had a bit of fruit. So the cook looked out, and he saw that this Rav and his Talmidim weren't eating. So he said, why aren't you eating? He said, I can't eat. It's not kosher. So he said, I have new pots I have never used. I'll tovel them for you, and you can use the pots. I won't tovel, you tovel them. Okay, so he got new pots. So then he sent up his two Talmidim to go up and to put the light on, put the fire on. They shouldn't be bishulakum. So the cook said, what's this all about? So he explained to him, you mustn't have food cooked by a non-Jew. He said, that's strange, because that's interesting. Actually, my mother was Jewish. I'm not Jewish, my mother's Jewish, so I understand what you're doing. So he went to tell the Briskarov what happened. Briskarov said, I've been losing nights of sleep. Why is a goy so worried about me not eating? What does he care? What does he care? Now I understand. Now I understand. V'hine na'a b'eche. If one person's in pain, v'hine na'a b'eche, miyalde ivrim zu. The Mephoshim say that Bisha was going down to Dugeris. At that moment, why is she standing by the side of the river? She's going down to Dugeris. The only reason why she went out to save him is because she cared. You know why? Because she was Jewish at that stage. And that's what Jews are. Jews look out for each other. We're one single person. There's a story with a child who's bar mitzvah. I wrote it down in Sits on the World. It's an amazing story. There's a child who's bar mitzvah in Sderot. Sderot is next to Gaza. And he stood up and he said it's bar mitzvah. He said, he gave me a beautiful bar mitzvah, and it ended off in something like this, Rabbeinu Shalom. You know, every club, when you join a new club, you deserve. You get a few extra credits. You join a frequent flyers club, you get a few extra miles. You join a calling card club, you get some extra minutes. There it is, Rabbeinu Shalom, I've joined a new club. You know what that club is? It's called Bimachayva Mitzvahs. Yeah, joining your club of mitzvah keepers. Rabbeinu Shalom, I deserve some bonuses too. I have a little friend in my class whose father was killed in a terrorist attack. This boy has nobody to teach him the Bar Mitzvah Drosha. This boy has nobody to teach him the Parasha like a father teaches his child. Rabbeinu Shalom, please send him somebody who's going to teach him the Parasha and teach him his Bar Mitzvah Sedra with the same love and dedication that a father would to his own child. Rabbeinu Shalom, I have another friend in my class, unfortunately. He's a boy whose mother was killed in a pass-by shooting. And he doesn't have a mother. Who's going to go and buy him the clothes? And it should be matching tie. Everything should be done in such perfection as a mother would buy for her own child. Rabbeinu Shalom, please, find him somebody who's going to take him to the shops and care for him like a mother would care for her own son. This is a pasuk. But Tirei Esayelet, you saw the child, v'nina boicha, that is Klal Yisrael. So this is a parasha. The parasha gives us the key to Klal Yisrael knowing where they're going. Klal Yisrael began this sefer in anarchy. Klal Yisrael were falling apart. They were falling apart. There was slavery. There was Holocaust. There were little babies being slaughtered on a daily basis. There wasn't identity. Everything was falling apart. Klal Yisrael got a message. Klal Yisrael realized that we are Klal Yisrael. We look out for each other. We have a future. We have a very, very strong future in front of us. What's Peshat? The Eid Shmoyz Bnei Yisrael habo in Mitzrayimot. They were never in Mitzrayim. They were never there for years and years and lost who we were. Constantly was habo in Mitzrayim. We are coming now to Mitzrayim. It's as if they just came. It's as if we just came now. We know where we're going. We know that the ikkah of life is knowing what path we're supposed to be following. Shom, shame. We know that the most important thing is not the result, it's the cause. A Maaseh Chesed can create a Moshe Rabbeinu. We understand that without knowing where we're going, we can be wiped out, can make gross miscalculations. Look at Amram, he made gross miscalculations. Once he knew where he was going, once he knew who he was, he went back on the track. We know where you're going, it's fantastic. We know, says Klal Yisrael, that the idea of Shifra and Pura is that we can become great, whoever we are, by just fulfilling our own special potential. We can become the greatest people through becoming a Shifra and Pura. We remember that Shifra and Pura, even if we're in a Nevi'im, we're still not going to lose our common touch. We're going to look out for each other. It's going to now Becha, we're going to carry on crying, even when we're not in pain and somebody else is in pain. Mr. Schultz, he had a Starbucks coffee. It was the most beautiful story. A Starbucks coffee. He was called in. He went in to visit Nosson Svi Finkel. In the mirror. Rashid of the mirror. He came in there with multi-millionaires. He came in to visit Nosson Svi Finkel. And he said this story over by the Businessman of the Year Award in America. And he said he came in to visit this man and he didn't realize that's how ill he was. He thought a man who, a professor of a university, you know, must be very healthy. He never realized that he suffered so terribly from Parkinson's. He could hardly hear what he was saying. He sat around the table and he said to them, "Gentlemen, what did the Holocaust teach us?" So one of them said, "Never again." So another one said, "Nah." Like a little child. "No, that's not it." "What else is there?" "And how global terrorism can completely destroy a nation." "No, that's not it." To each one, no. Do you know what the message is? The message is that when the Jews got off the train, one of every four people got a blanket. And those people who got the blanket didn't keep it for themselves. They shared it with the three other people who were next to them. That is a lesson of the Holocaust. That is what a Jew is. Go back to America with your beautiful blankets and share it with other people. If one person is in pain, and we're crying, we know we're part of the Jewish nation. We don't even have to say it in the Pasuk. It can even be in a Gematria, because that is definitive of who we are. That defines the Jewish destiny, caring for the other people. That has helped us all the way through the parasha. From Golus, from deep in Golus Mitzrayim, from anarchy, all the way to be able to believe in Moshe Rabbeinu, Ekiash Eki, what's his name? Who is Rabbeinu Shalom? What's his name? Ekiash Lechani Aleichem. Hashem sent me. That's his name. Rachamim. We know who he is. And that got us all the way out of Kriyas Yamsuf to accept the Torah, and it became so clear of our destination, so clear and so defined who we are, that right at the end of Parshas Pekudei, we actually built a Mishkan and Moshe Rabbeinu can actually come and calculate exactly where every single ounce of silver and gold went to. That's how clear we are of who we are. Everything was completely and perfectly in sync by knowing our name, knowing our future, knowing who we are, and knowing what we should be doing. That is why the Sefer is called Sefer Shemois. It's all about who we are. It's all about our name. It's all about our purpose. It's all about where we're going to and how we've survived all these thousands of years of Golos and where our future lies in being a light unto the nations.